Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Sunday, the beginning of the week. Parshat Zemar, and I don't have anybody yet, but I'm going to do Mishpachas Stefanski and try to answer a couple questions people send me in as far as the rationalism is concerned. This is sadly being dedicated to the Shver, the father-in-law of Bezalel Stefanski, who was Nifter yesterday or today, Rabbi Yeshaya ben Usher Karlinsky. There's a big Anam Gadol in Eretz Yisrael, and the Chinuch movement and all the rest of it, associated with the yeshivas, old school. It's a very sad. And so as I said before, that's the father-in-law of our, of Saul Stefanski, and I guess the Levaya was today. And you know what they say, the Zecher Tzadik Lebroch and all that. So very sorry to hear that. I was asked by a number of people, meaning who write to me, including Joseph M., who's a longtime listener of ours, and this is what he says, Rabbi Katz, you keep asserting, this is what he writes, you keep asserting that Rosh Hashanah was a mystic, but you only supported the argument for rationalism. How do you know he was a mystic? Someone addressed that. Because actually I did address it, but I'll try to do it more head-on. When I say I already addressed it, I keep coming back to the point. Even when we talk about rationalists, you can't use a high school definition. As I said before, the Rambam is a mystic, among other things. As soon as you believe in something that cannot be comprehended by reason, and you assert it's true anyway, you're talking to mysticism. So if you're talking Yesh Me'ayin, any of these people, you're talking about Bria Solom, however you interpret it, you're coming up with a mystical shot. I want you to understand that. Rationalism is a relative term in Judaism in the sense that you try to, what's the right word? Avoid all the fluff. You know, once somebody starts indulging in Maiselach, today I don't want to. This guy said my Rebbe did this. And he goes, oh, he did even that. The other said, oh, he did that on Thursdays and Fridays. Oh, he flew to heaven. You know, no, it's a nature of people, especially Jews, especially well-meaning from Jews, to try to pile on the nisim and flaws, even if they know it's not true. Meaning, even if they don't have any basis for it. It's who we are. The Art Scroll, to their credit, tries to reduce that. What the Art Scroll does is simply be selective. In other words, now I'm saying this in way of a praise within a certain context. They're not looking for academic history exactly. And what I mean by that is, the facts they'll say are true as far as I know. However, they'll leave stuff out. You see, therein lies that methodology. So you simply omit the fact that this guy did this or that guy did that or was in jail or something like that. But it's not that you shoot the bull in the facts the way you find in some other form. In fact, I'm sure it's all over online. Somebody will get up and give a little speech about some Gadol's yard site. And by the, before you know it, this Gadol was flying to the moon every 2 minutes. You understand? On his own steam. I mean, you're doing Tchis HaMesem. That's how they do it. I'm tempted to say Hasidic tales, but it's not only Hasidic, to be perfectly honest. It's a certain style of rhetoric in which you pile it on. Ad kidei kach, that we all know the famous story that the sons of Rebbe said, like, if you believe them all, you're an idiot. If you don't believe any of them, you're up a kairos. So what was he saying over there? He's saying, listen, there's a certain exaggeration thing out there. If you're interested in the truth, to the degree that such a thing can be attained. So, you know, some of these things go beyond that, way beyond that. If you say, no, on the other hand, if you say all that exists is irrational, or that plenty and plenty couldn't do anything great, or something like that, so then you're making an assertion you have no basis for. So that's a dry and hard rationalism, which represents a certain ideology rather than a certain empirical methodology. That's the famous argument of the Ramban and others against the Rambam. Nachmanides versus Maimonides. The Rambam says there's no such thing as magic. And the Ramban, it's all he's got a whole sermon on this. I think it's called Torah Hashem Tamima, maybe? I have it somewhere in Shul, with Nekudos, you know me. They put it out a couple years ago. And basically, so he goes, how do you know there's no magic? I mean, that's epistemological question. How do you know? How do you know that there's no magic? Right? Simply say it doesn't make any sense is not necessarily what we call an empirically grounded argument. So I mentioned these things because when somebody raised the question of something rationalistic, mystical, and all the rest of it, the Hamon Am usually mixes up these terms. And I do understand that. But if you think it through, at least in I can only tell you my opinion, as I always say, if you think this through to a certain way, then you see it's more nuanced. The rationalist, 99% of them, maybe not everyone, although I suspect everyone, were mystics in one sense or another. The thing is, when you make a mystical statement about something, is that true or literal or whatever? If I'm skeptical about that, that doesn't mean I don't believe in the possibility of the mystical reality. I just don't believe you, maybe, unless you can demonstrate it logically or empirically. You understand what I'm saying? So if somebody says, you know, I don't know, Moshe Rabbeinu flew to the moon in a rocket ship, you know, so you say, well, that can't work, you know, it's anachronistic. The only thing you're telling me, it was E. Epsher for Moshe Rabbeinu ever did. I don't know if it was E. Epsher. I can't say that. Right? Talking about people that are high madrega. That's a different story. But I am asserting that as far as we know, it never happened. You see? So it's, you know, it's a tricky line. And I think there's so much rhetoric from and anti-from rhetoric out there that people get mixed up, submission, this sort of thing. Now, I'm going to give you an example to answer Joseph M's question. Here's another famous one from the Gaonic Responsa. And again, it's from Haigon or Shirgon, father and son. And they got a shot. It's very, very famous. It's quoted in the Rishonim and all the rest of it. But I always like the best years, as far as I'm aware, is in the Otsar Gaonim from Lewin, which is a wonderful work. That's what I got for my engagement present. Or maybe we were dating. I don't remember. My wife is smart enough to get something weird for me. So if you look at Otsar Gaonim on Chagiga, where does it say over there, you know, Maisim Rekava, Maisim Breishis, beginning of second parak, and Kol Shaluchos Al Kavakonim Mutav Lo Shalu Nivra, something like that. So, Kol Shaluchos Al Kavakonim Roy Lo Shalu Boli Olam. Whoever doesn't have pity or respect for the covet of the Rabbeinu Shalom, better never been born. And he brings down over here, in the style of the Otsar Gaonim, from earlier collection. And again, it's quoted in the Rishonim. They got a question, I think, from Morocco, if I'm not mistaken. Adire, yeah, from Fez, Morocco. Okay? Adire Fez, Uchivasa me Adonenu, Rav Shirgon, me Tzolbeno, Dine de Bubber, Marga, Agon, Nitrachmana. This is a question that was sent to Rav Shirgon and his deputy, who was his son. You know, even though it's the Yeshiva world, Rosh Hashiva was this guy, and the Skan Rosh Hashiva was his son. Although in the case of Shirgon and Agon, I mean, there's no question that they were, you know, right. The question is, She'ela, Shalom Mifneinu Anshei Fez, so this is Rav Shirgon and Agon writing, Shalom Anshei Fez, Yatsu El Shar Heshiba Shel Gola, they sent us a question, right? And there's a lot of honorifics and fancy words. Tanan, Ain Darshan Barais, Bishloshim Isim Bishnayim. They quote the Mishnah, the famous Mishnah, beginning of the second paragraph of the Chagiga, where it says you can't talk about Maisa Merkava, Maisa Bracious, to a group, but it has to be, to a tiny, tiny select elite. And it says, Kol Shel Chas HaChavet Kanot Reil Shel Balil. Whoever isn't chas, whoever isn't concerned or takes care to guard the covet, Reil Shalom better not to be born. And now he quotes from the early mystical literature. There was stuff out there before the Zohar. I mean, publicized. Especially the Pirkei Hecholos, which has to do with the description of heaven in some kind of architecture sort of form. I know it's weird, but nevertheless, it's based on the idea, or maybe an example of this, a better way to put it, this is the story of the four guys that went into the four Tanoim who went into the Pardes, right? And, they have to maneuver their way, and they have to watch out not to get killed along the way and all the rest of it. And in there, it's supposed to be a quote. Now, I'll read it in the footnotes, the better Girsa. Hein hein dibra bishma. These words of Kol Shel Chas HaKavod Kanot is what Rabbi Shmuel said. Rabbi Akiva, Sefer Echol, Sam Rekol Yodei Shir, Shiyotze Breishis, Muftel Shum Bil Mahaba. These are the famous quotes that, what do you call it? Whoever knows the proportions of God, meaning his physical proportions, how tall he is, how wide he is, what's the size of the nose, and all the rest of that stuff. I'm serious, right? It's called Sefer Shir Koma. Not all of which survives, but it's very famous stuff. So in there, it basically says, this is a quote from that book, that Kuntres, Aniv Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Medav Rezeh, me and Rabbi Akiva guarantee, says Rabbi Shmuel, Shekol mi sheyodeh, Shir Zel sheyotreinu, whoever knows the proportions, the physical proportions of God, and his glory, he's going to be Olam Haba. Really? I thought the Jewish religion doesn't have a God that has any physical proportions. Isn't it antithetical to everything? That's what the guys are writing to the Gaonim. What the heck is going on over here? Okay? That's what they're asking. And it lists off the different limbs of the body. And he quotes that thing I just told you, and so on and so forth. Like, what is going on over here, right? And these people in Fez, that would be in the 10th century, in Morocco, which was the other side of the Arab world, writing to Baghdad, where the yeshiva was located, so they're saying like this. This is a strange shot. Is this mamish a mesorah halachal mashmisina, so to speak? Says Rabbi Shmuel, transmitting an ancient tradition, or is he saying something on his own? Omidato omer zeh. Vikol adato komar. And if he is saying on his own, what do you do with the Mishnah that says you have to be chas al kavod kanot? I mean, you have to be worried about the covet of Hashem. How can you start talking about it? You know, the size of the limbs of the body and that sort of thing. Please explain this very well. Now, what's interesting is the Gaonin could have said, as some Rishonim do, it's all a big mushel. Right? That's what we'd say today. It's about the eyes, the ears, the nose, the arms, the elbows, and all the rest of it. It's a mushel. None of it's literal. Right? And when I say a mushel, a rhetorical mushel or a philosophical mushel or something like excuse me. I don't know if it's talked about God's hand, maybe means his power, things like that. That's the easy way out. However, that's not what Rav Haigon and Shir Gaon do. They say pretty blatantly, E Esher Levar Lochem Dover Zeber Hetiv. We cannot explain this to you. You're not Roy for this. So they don't say this is baloney. And they don't say this is simply some muzzle type thing. They say this is Kabbalah, to use a modern term. They didn't use the word Kabbalah at that time. This is heavily mystical, okay? And you ain't holding by it. Elokloli be'alman. We can give you only the most general types of understanding to this sort of thing. Kichas v'shom shev shmol dorah halbida asasun. First of all, Shmuel doesn't say nothing on his own. He's always transmitting an ancient Mesoah. Let's get that straight. Right? The Minyan Boyin Tamalo Migdash Shal Olam. Boyin Tamalo Shai Shal Olam. After all, the stuff is so weird. How could somebody think it up on his own? That's an interesting way of looking at it. Obviously, it must be an old recondite mystical code trying to explain certain sodos that are of ancient origins, and that's why Rabbi Shmuel, who, by the way, in the Gemara is most of the time pretty rational in Agadah as well as other things, that's a whole theory of Rabbi Kiva versus Rabbi Shmuel. We've discussed this many times when we go back to David Zvi Hoffman and others. And so he won't come up with this stuff on his own. It's old. For Ode, she yotzrein amar mo miyotei var midas kibshun shel davar. Rabbanu Shalom doesn't have no physicality. He's beyond having a varim and this literal stuff. As the pasuk says, almi dama el. Ela eila divri chochmahin. So what you have to understand is, this stuff that sounds crazy, and they're admitting it sounds crazy. How can you say God has, like I say, you know, like, I don't know, fingernail, whatever it is. How can you say something like that? It's divri chochma, meaning it's a code, right? It's conveying a certain message. Sheyesh b'sfunehem ta'amim gedolim gvoim mikol hari arorin. In the hidden interstices it is, like deep secrets that are higher than the mountains. So again, to use modern terminology, it's heavy Kabbalah stuff, right? Even though the word Kabbalah wasn't used at that time. It's heavily mystical. And therefore, it is true in its way, but it's used in a coded form. V'nifla'im ma'od. Again, this is the same Shirogon Haigon who were so rationalistic the other time and say the Chazal are not doctors and all this other kind of stuff. That does not mean, as you see from what I'm reading you, that they don't believe there's a mystical component of Judaism. And that they themselves do not believe. It doesn't mean that they do not believe in the mystical component of Judaism. The only thing is, as in the case of the old school, you do not talk about it in public. And mainly because you can't communicate something like this. I'm not comparing myself to them, obviously. Sometimes people write me these difficult questions. I don't have time to write a whole long email, pages and pages. It's not who I am. You see? And who says you do it justice even there? It's better to talk, to have a conversation one-to-one, if possible, not with everybody. So that's what they're saying. Sheish b'sunehen, in their hidden aspects of this text, ta'amim gedolim b'roing b'kol hari harim, things that are higher than the mountain. You understand? No, it's lofty ideas. This statement is quoted in, by the Ramon the Torah Sa'ola, and by Irgas in the Shom Ramunim. V'nifloim ma'od, the halalu remozim shalahem. And everything here is a remiss to something else. But so to say him, for Razan Basisran, as secret stuff. So it's not baloney, it's a code. Right? On the face of it seems like baloney, and that's certainly the case. If you tell me God has an arm which is so and so many inches wide, that's not true. If you tell me, if you mean it literally, it's not true. On the other hand, if you tell me the meaning of the arm is this and this, and it's 3 inches wide is that and that, that's a different story. She Epshalamosan Cholodom. And we can't give this over. This heavy duty stuff, this sodos, is not to give in to everybody. It's got to be somebody who already has what he calls the Midas Hamasurus Biodeno. I would translate it as the necessary introductory information. As he puts it at the bottom from the collection Lagon and Shari Tshuva, V'yesh bris b'cherim bez n'shein l'moson el ne'emonim. Has to be somebody who's ne'emon. U'mishikos panshu roi l'kach. You can tell by looking at him that he's roi l'kach. So yes, there is mysticism. And yes, it's at the core of Judaism. Matter of fact, it's deeper than the other parts of Judaism. It ain't for the public. Right? The public will screw it up. I feel a rushy prokim, but damn. You can't even tell him the basics of it. Right? You have to have a very big character and tremendous chokhmah and all the others, and Yer Shamayim and all the other business, right? Like Rabbi Ami says, A Moses sister told Leois Chacham Harashim, but Novim Velochash, Lovichishis Lochashino, and you only tell to him silently, meaning you only give him hints. The clause no single, you tell him basic stuff. You don't go into the details because it's not that kind of information. With regular information, the more detailed and the more explicit, the better. With this kind of stuff, the more detailed, explicit, the worse. Now, I know it doesn't make sense to somebody, unless you have a little bit of acquaintance with it, but there are certain disciplines out there that are like that. Mevehen, umen ha-shamayim marlin b'sisil bo'o. And he has to have siyata d'shmaya, then in heaven, they allow him to grasp it, to chop it. He talks of this and this. V'igad n'zos lochem, and Rav Haigon and Shiragon are writing to their questioners and saying, we're telling you this, we could blow you off, right? We could simply give you, you know, it's a philosophical mushal. We're telling you this, shechashiv matem aleinu, to indicate to you, we're not blowing you off, right? You are chashiv to us, and you are talmidei chacham and all the rest, right? But you're not, as we would say today, mystics, you're not mukabolim. Literally, you don't have a Kabbalah. El she efshar lanu liftoch b'ksav b'dvarim elu. This stuff you can't commit to paper. I mean, I get that. You get that. Right? You can understand that. Right? Or according to some, liftoch b'er b'kahal. It's certainly not, as we would say today, for a podcast. Now, we live in a world today, the internet age. You got the biggest sodas. I bet you they're online. How can the guy do it? He do it. Yeah. Everybody got a reason for having a YouTube channel or a TikTok or I don't know, all this other business, Facebook, whatever you call it. You know, to get hits, people do it, literally anything. And that's the antithesis of the Jewish mystical tradition, which is it's not to be put out there. You're not doing to get hits. You're not doing to get fans. You see? You'd have to have a 3-year introductory period, I guess. So we're writing to this with you to express our respect for you, even though we cannot answer your question. Don't take this as some kind of insult. It's not meant to be. You see? On a vakshalim rachman, yiratzon shakom misha roi minashamayim yiratzeno. And therefore, we're concluding with a prayer, very nice, who says, who's ever meant to know it should know it. That whoever shamayim wants to know it will enlighten the eyes of the person's interest in this. So in other words, if you want to go and chase this down and, you know, pursue it and all the rest of it, and if you get lucky, and Hashem, you know, lets you understand it. Good. Don't go to me. So you see, right? I'm a golem, he said. I'm here for Nigla. That's the model they set for themselves. You have a question about interpretation of Gemara? Fine. You have a question about Halacha L'maisa? Fine. That's a rabbinical job. My job here, he says, is not to be mekubal to you. But that does not mean, right, there is no Kabbalah. Now, again, I keep hesitating. I don't want to use the word Kabbalah because that's a term that came up after the Zohar and all that. But you know what I mean, the Jewish mystical tradition. I'm using that with a small K instead of a large K, if I can use that term. Right? That's very interesting. So you see, clearly, the style of the Tshuva Zagonim and many Shalos Jews, not all, over the centuries, is to give a plain push-up shot, logical shot. Right, I would use, for example, the Marshal in the Chiddushi Hagodas as the style for that. Give a plain nigla logical shot, which is great. Does that mean that that exhausted the totality of all the interpretations? That there aren't heavy and deep and recondite meanings to all this? Who said that? Moreover, how could you say that? You'd have to know everything, and nobody knows everything, right? So again, nobody denies, even the Rambam, that there's secret lore, mystical stuff out there that are hinted to in these kinds of Mishnahs and texts and things like that. Yes, they do have that. No question about it. The only question is like this. Is it for you? Right? Is it for you? So who's it for? The one who, the old way of looking at it is the one who it's for will find it. You understand? Because at the end of the day, it's not up to you. It's up to Ribono Shel Olam. That's what you have to keep in mind. If you're talking about mysticism, you're talking about a power beyond you, and you don't control it. It controls you. So if it's meant to be, you know, that you should get it, you'll get it. If not, you're not. Nothing wrong with pursuing it if you do it in the right way. But again, as always, as in the case of Nevuah, just because you pursue it doesn't mean you're going to get it. There's no guarantees along those lines. And there were a ton of Amorim apparently who didn't get it all, right? According to the stories in the Gemara. That's okay. Now, we today live more, obviously, in terms of Nigla and things like this. But I don't know. You know, these Kabbalah sites and all that stuff are flourishing as well. I mean, that's how it goes. What can I tell you? It's how these things, you know, develop along societal lines. But I just wanted to share that. Again, this is a very famous Shiva's Gonim. I'm not sharing you something out of nowhere. This is well known, often quoted. I mean, down the centuries. And you see from here that even the so-called rationalists deploy a rationalist rhetoric, perhaps in their responsa. That doesn't mean that they hold the rational, comprehensive totality of reality. On the other hand, they certainly were a rationalist type of Rishon, like Sadiyon, by the way. You know, one second. Sadiyon was attacked by the Karaites. He was always fighting the Karaites. What to say for Shir Koma? I don't blame him. If I was a Karaite, that's what I would do. You tell me you believe in indivisible God, and then you have all this baloney. And Sadiyon said something like, first of all, who says it's true? And if it is true, there must be a Nister type meaning. You know, he doesn't say it exactly the way that the Gonim do, but it boils down to the same thing. But what they're saying is, Sadiyon saying this, I'm not saying it can't be, but I know it's not literal, you see? And so the rationalism emerges within rabbinic literature less as a shita than as a certain amount, I repeat, a certain amount of skepticism towards wild claims proffered by others, of which the frum world wasn't then and is not now short of. That's not good. At least that's my understanding of it. Again, I want to express condolences to Mishpachas Stefanski on the loss of his father-in-law. And, you know, obviously, Zechusam Yogan Elena, as they say, and they shall have no more sorrow.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidovidkatz.com.